Be turning with me in your Bibles or whatever device that you use to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And while you're turning there, let's pray together. Lord, we come to honor you today. Your Son Jesus, being prompted by your Holy Spirit, is what brought us together today. We exalt you, O God. And while we think about those special women in our lives, our mothers, whether they are with us or not, and whatever burdens we carry on this day, Lord, we come to you. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us as a father, but you have also revealed yourself to us as a mother who comforts her children. And I pray, O God, that we will experience that today, that you will have a special word of good news for us today. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day, I know, is fraught with a lot of different emotions. And my experience is not going to be your experience. For most of my life, I have lived with a mother. I didn't say my mother, but a mother. I lived with my own mother for a good portion of my life, and for almost 32 years, I've lived with another mother who happens to be my wife. And I have those experiences of motherhood that shape and form my understanding and appreciation for what I want to talk about today. At the same time, I know that others here may wrestle with their relationship with their mother, or your mother is gone, or you are wanting to be a mother, and it seems that that is not taking place. I understand that we have all of that swirling about today. And so I hope that what I share with you will not just point us primarily to our biological mothers, and however good or bad that may be, but that would point us to the one who truly is portrayed as the one who truly is love, and that is God, who offers all things to us through Jesus. That's my prayer today. And so with that caveat, I want to say this. Has anyone ever said to you, after talking about an individual, and said, "Yeah, she has been just like a mother to me"? You ever heard that? I want to say that's a simple but profound statement. If there's anybody in your life other than your biological mom that you can point to and say, "She's been like a mother to me," and I were to ask you, what do you mean by that? It's very difficult to articulate, but you know deep in your heart it's a very special relationship that you have. One of the things that I appreciate about Paul is that Paul was not just this detached or emotionally detached apostle that simply sent letters to people about theological abstractions. And one of the books that he wrote that is one of the most difficult ones to comprehend, I think, is not intended to be a theological abstraction, but it is to deal with real issues that existed in the church at Rome. Particularly this issue of Jew and Gentile relationship and how that is supposed to find expression within community, and he speaks about these broad, very complex theological concepts surrounding Jesus Christ, but at the heart of it, he's wanting to say something profound about relationships in the body that is informed by who Jesus is and the difference that that makes. In fact, I believe, if I understand Romans at all, is that Paul had particular individuals in mind, even their faces and their names, before him as he was writing this particular letter. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that. But I have been in those situations where I know someone has asked me a question, or there is an issue that someone has asked me to write about, and I start thinking and writing. And let me tell you, you wrestle with wanting to say the right thing to the people who are listening, who will be reading what you write in a way that will bless them, convict them, and somehow transform a situation. And that's hard to do. The reason I believe that's what Paul was doing is because of Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, as we begin reading this together, I guess it could be boring at one level. I thought that would be a... Okay. It's almost like Paul is reading the church directory. But if we hear Paul talking about these names and the tender language with which he describes them, I think we're going to see something of Paul's character and his purpose and the reason for which he wrote displayed in beautiful ways. Let's start reading together in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. Yeah, that's really in there. And in fact, the word deacon there is diakonon. It is not feminine. It is the very word used of those that Paul refers to in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we got to deal with that. Amen. Not deal with it. We need to receive it. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people. And that word benefactor is a very powerful word. A patron, including me. I'll greet Priscilla and Aquila, co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. This husband-wife team in which Priscilla was very much a part. In fact, so much so that her name appears first. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was. Interesting statement that he makes there. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus. For those of you who are looking for some names for babies, look no further. Here are some biblical names that often are overlooked. Our co-worker in Christ and my dear friend Stachus. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Well, what a great epithet on someone's tombstone. Oh, I would love for that to be able to be emblazoned on mine. Here lies Gary, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Amen. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Some have suggested that these are sisters, perhaps even twins. Their names literally mean dainty and delicate, but suggest that maybe they were of the aristocracy, that they lived in posh surroundings, but they gave that up to work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. By the way, if you want to know what Paul's view of women would be in ministry, this is it. Amen. I love verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Ansicritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Pedrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, he ends. The sense of community that Paul talks about. I want to hone in on this one statement that Paul makes, particularly on this day, where he says to greet Rufus. And Mark mentions that Rufus, his father was Simon Cyrenus, maybe the same Rufus. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Paul had somebody in his life that he could say, she's been like a mother. There are four things I want to share with you about this today. Informed once again by my own experience that I think speaks to the heart of maybe what Paul is talking about and perhaps might would give us a better clue of what God is like. First, I suspect that this woman was tender to Paul. I have seen a lot of mamas through my years of ministry. And I know that I know that there are certain instances in which mothers abandon their children. I understand that. I understand that. That has happened. But what I tend to see, generally speaking, are these mamas who are very tender with their children. In fact, only a mama works whenever a child is hurting. At least that's the way it was in my family. If you wanted to have fun, go to daddy. If you're hurt, daddy's not going to do. I want my mama. There's just something about a mama's lap that doesn't fit here. There's something soft and warm and tender. And I think all of us can appreciate that to some extent. I remember very well sitting in my own mother's lap. Even more so, sitting in my grandmother's lap. Vicki, you remember that. My sister's here today, by the way. It's always good to see her. Now that we're grown, it's good to see her. My grandmother just had one of those laps that, you know, you could get lost in. I mean, you had to come up for air. It was just one of those beautiful places to be. And there's something tender about that. I suspect that whenever Paul had come from a long time of travel or a long day, and he happens to be at Rufus's house with Rufus's mother, who was a mother to him, there was a tenderness associated with her. Hey, Paul, how are you today? Come and sit down. Put your feet up. Let me rub your feet. I can imagine that. Because I remember my own mother. When I would go home, she would take off my shoes as I put them in her lap, and she would just rub my feet. My daddy never did that. He did other things. But mama had a way of her tenderness. Maybe that's not your experience. But I believe that in the body of Christ, where Jesus says, "Who are my mother, brother, sister, but those who do the will of God," we can experience that kind of tenderness of the mothers that we have in the body of Christ. I am confident that Rufus's mother was one who gave him assurance, like only a mama can do. There are times in life when we wonder if we can make it. Sometimes we wonder if anybody really cares. Have you ever been there? Maybe there are times when you feel so down that you just don't think that you can keep going anymore. There's something about a mother's assurance that may not make everything perfect, but it certainly enlivens the spirit. I can imagine Paul many times sitting down being weary with ministry, reclining at the table, and probably even talking about the folks who just don't seem like they really pay attention to what I'm trying to say. They just don't get it. And she would say something like, "Well, Paul, if you wouldn't be so complicated, they'd get it a little better. But you're doing fine, son. You're doing fine. Keep preaching. Keep writing. Keep ministering. God is at work. Don't forget that." Don't you need somebody like that in your life? That's one reason why I keep coming to be at church. I need this. I mean, I know that there are plenty of criticisms. I need to be around my mothers and brothers and sisters in community to be reminded that all things work together, that God is at work in all things for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's what Paul earlier said in Romans chapter 8. I suspect that this woman, this mother of Paul, who was this woman who was like a mother to Paul, would often use his words against him. "Paul, don't you know that God is at work even now?" Oh, I think some of us may need to hear that today. But service. Charlie already mentioned this about a mother's heart and sitting at the table. There's something about mamas, at least the ones that I've experienced, that when people are at their house, they want to make sure everybody is served well. And sometimes it happens like this. They're up all the time getting people something to drink, or they're saying, "Gary, would you get up and get somebody something to drink?" Either way, they're making sure people are served. I suspect that when Paul said she was like a woman or mother to me, that she served Paul. He would come in and she would have some bread and some wine and whatever she could put together. She would serve him. She would make sure his needs were met to the extent that she was able. More importantly, I think she served his soul of listening and paying attention and loving. And in the tenderness of that service, with the assurance that she gives, I think Paul's spirit was revived. Again, I want to say that only a mama can really do that at that level. Mamas just have this unique ability to see what needs to be done, and then they move and take care of it. We guys tend to be a bit oblivious. For example, we were taking care of Hunter. That's my grandson. That the other night, and he approaches G Mama and G Daddy a bit differently. G Daddy is the one that if you want a rough house with and have fun, that's where you go. If you want something to eat and you want to snuggle, well, you go to G Mama. Even though I like to snuggle and I like to eat, but it's just different. And of course, I come home and we go outside. And for those of you who've been at our house, we have this hill that is really kind of fun if you do ever get snow. I mean, you can slide down that and end at the neighbor's front door. Pretty cool. And so we were out there running up and down the hill, rolling down and shooting these. We gave him a bow and arrow, not a real one. It has rubber tips on it. It's foam rubber tips. And we were shooting it, throwing it at each other, and we were kind of shooting it back and forth. And Carol, later that night, said, "I heard y'all out there laughing." I said, "Oh, we were having a blast." She said, "Yeah, I didn't go out there because I would have put an end to it." You don't have a clue about the potential dangers that exist. And I didn't know that she had told him that we're not supposed to be shooting this thing at each other. I was careful. And he was careful. And we were having a blast. Mamas know better. And mamas have that ability to see the potential and move in and serve at that place. I love that. And then to speak truth. When a mama looks at you and tells you the truth, it may make you mad, but there's something about scratching your very soul with those words. I was very fortunate that I had both of my grandparents, at least three of them, for a good portion of my life. My maternal grandmother, Nanny Brown, as I called her. She died when she was what? Carol, 92, Vicki, 92, 91, 92, something like that. When she was up in her 70s or so, I remember her sending me a letter. And it was written in her own handwriting, because I could tell it was somewhat trembly. And she spoke profound truth. One of the phrases in there is she said, "Now, son, don't forget your raisins." And I knew exactly what she meant. Don't forget how your mama and daddy raised you. Don't forget that as you're out on your own, that there will be many temptations in this life. Don't forget your raisins. So every time I open up a pack of raisins, I remember that phrase by my sweet grandmama that says, "Listen, people have poured things into your life, truth into your life. Don't forget those truths." A mama can do that. So I want to say to all of us, don't forget your raisins. And at the end of all of this, I do believe that what we have, and there's so many other things that could be added to this, is that the very things of which I speak and what Paul is saying is that in this one quick phrase, "She was like a mother to me," that there's something about a portrait of God. As the video indicated, mamas, by doing these things, do so much more than they think they're ever doing. And sometimes you may wonder if what all you do really matters. Does it ever take root? We have reared 4 children. We have 1 in heaven waiting on us. We have gone through the adolescence. We've gone through the high school. We're in college with the last one. One more year. And I know that there are those times when it seems like nothing is sticking. They move from this point where you're almost deity, where you can do no wrong, to where you're just the devil, you can do no right. And then they keep growing up, and they keep growing up. Think about rearing children as a marathon, not as a sprint. And I am convinced now, as I think about service, that the very moment that God created people in His image, He forever became our servant. And I know that for a number of reasons, two of which are, first, Jesus said that's the case. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, and I came to serve, not to be served. Amen. But secondly, the moment that Carol and I had children, we forever became a servant. You never get out of it. You just don't. Even if tragically your children are taken away, you forever have that parental servant heart. Forever. You think about the ones who are out of the house and you're hoping and praying for them all the time. You can't help but have some sense of holy worry. I want to at least justify it. The burden of wanting them to spread their wings in the kingdom of God. And you hate to get those calls where one is upset and their life seems to be falling apart and you just are there with them. I want to suggest that all of those emotions you can see throughout the Old and New Testament of God being interconnected with His creation. And God is an emotional God. If you don't believe that, just read the book of Hosea and you will understand that the hurt, the pain, the anticipation, everything that we pour into our own children is also expressed in the very heart of God Himself, even to the point that He comes to in Hebrews chapter 13, I have had it with you. I am going to just be done with you. And then it's almost as if there's a moment of divine silence, and then He says, but I can't do that. You're my children. You ever been there? Thank you, ladies, for giving us a portrait of God. Thank you for demonstrating holy anger when it needs to be demonstrated. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your service, for your love, for your assurance, for the truth that you speak. And I realize that you ladies are broken, but by the grace of God, you are being transformed and you are showing us more of what it looks like when God says, I will comfort you as a mother comforts her children. And today, we rise up and call you blessed. We call you blessed, not because we worship you, but because of the very God who made you. You are turning our hearts toward Him, and we praise His name because of you today. May we all give our sweet mamas a tremendous round of appreciation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for those ladies who are here who have mothered me, who have mothered Carol, who have mothered our own children. I thank you for the brothers and sisters who are in community. And I pray, oh God, that as we leave today, that we won't fall into the trap of the Hallmark approach of one day saying thank you, but that we will live a life of gratitude for the people in our lives, recognizing our brokenness, but also seeing in each other the potential that you're working in us through Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And today, anyone here who is hurting and longing and wondering, may they see through what Paul had to say about Rufus's mother and how you have described yourself with those feminine characteristics, that you truly are one who loves us as the true mother loves us. May we be drawn to you, O God. So deal with us now. And may we respond to you as your Spirit prompts us. I'm going to ask our shepherds and their wives to be making your way available around the auditorium. And so, God, if we need prayer, if we need just time to spend at the cross, that we will take this opportunity now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and let's sing.